Well, hello everyone. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Hannah Bussey. I'm part of our Worship Arts staff, and I'm up here with a band of fantastic volunteers. So happy belated Thanksgiving to you if you're joining us online or here in the room. And happy first Sunday of Advent. Today is the first Sunday of the season of Advent in the church calendar, which we'll talk about a little bit more later. But for now, we're going to get started with singing some songs and praising our God, grounding ourselves in who He is. So why don't you go ahead and stand up if you're able and join us as we lift our voices together as one to our good God. My friend Stephen's going to lead us in this first song.
You're the God.
You're the God who covers every sin. You're the healer of our brokenness. Keeper of your covenant, we give praise. You're the God who spoke the world to be. You're the one who made the blind to see. Author of eternity, we give praise. We give praise.
Covered our shame.
To the one who covered all our shame. To the one who will forever reign. Faithful God, you never change.
For redemption.
We praise you for redemption. We were at our worst. You are good. You are good. Praise you for forgiveness. Brought us back to you. You are good. You are good.
And for salvation.
We praise you for salvation, for calling us your own. You are good. You are good. We praise you that your coming will be resurrected soon. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are good.
Give
him praise.
our God thanks, to give him praise. And on this weekend after Thanksgiving, as we're giving thanks for so many things in our life, that we don't leave out the most important person of all, God, who has been so good to us. Let's sing this song together.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are up and down. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross.
We're grateful. All right. Well, as I mentioned in my welcome, today is the first Sunday of the season of Advent in the church calendar, not just here, but around the world. And the word Advent simply means coming. It's a season where we have a chance to refocus ourselves, and we wait expectantly for the coming of Jesus into our world as an infant, celebrating what God has already done through that event, what we celebrate at Christmas time. But Advent also has another layer. It's also a season where we anticipate and look forward to the future day when Jesus will come again to establish his kingdom and love of love and peace on our earth. Since the 16th century, the church has practiced the tradition of lighting candles on an Advent wreath on each Sunday of the season of Advent. So today, on the first Sunday of Advent, we will light the first purple candle that stands for hope, the hope that we have in the coming of Jesus. Even when things seem impossibly dark, we find hope in the light that is to come. I invite you to listen to these words from the book of Lamentations. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Amen. Let's sing this Advent carol together. I think you'll be familiar with it. It's O Come Emmanuel. Here we go.
O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until
Amen.
Yes, God, we sense in ourselves this longing for you to come and make things right. And I really want to thank you, God, that in the incarnation and the first coming of Jesus at Christmas time, you showed us that you are not a God who stands far off, but you're a God who moves towards us in love. And as we look into the scriptures together, as we hear a message about that now, we pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears to hear what you might want to say to us, and soften our hearts that we might respond to the word that we hear from you. Thank you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Here in the room, why don't you guys go ahead and grab a seat? Oh, I love those words. It's good to be here with you all singing songs, Christmas songs, anticipating Jesus coming. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here at Blackhawk Church. And thanks for joining us for worship this morning. I have a lot more to say in just a moment about all things Christmas and December, because happy December. It is December 1st. There's a chill in the air. It's good to be together. But first, if you are new, if this is your first time or your second time or your third time, and you just never said hi, we would love to meet you. So if you head straight out these doors after the service, we'd love to say hello to you and give you a small gift just to say thank you for joining us for worship today. We believe everyone has a next step wherever you're at on your journey, and we would love to help you find yours. So check that out afterward. It is December. It is Christmas is coming soon. It is only 3 weeks from today that here at Brighter Way we will be holding our first Christmas services, which made some of you either really excited or really anxious. I'm not sure which, but only 3 weeks away. So I'm going to run down some of these different things related to Christmas. You can also find all of this if you even want to track along right now. This is what I'm using. If you want to follow along at the hub, you can scan that QR code or go to blackhawk.church/hub. And all of these details will be there as well if you miss something. But Christmas services will be starting on Sunday, December 22nd. So that Sunday, the service is the Christmas service. It's not a different service Sunday and then different over the next couple days. So we'll be starting Christmas services on Sunday, December 22nd at 1, 3, and 5 here in this room. There's also a Monday evening service, and then Tuesday, Christmas Eve, here in this room at 11, 1, 3, and 5 p.m. And B-Kids will be available at all of those services except for the Monday evening service. So if you were planning on having your birth through kindergarten, that's what B-Kids is going to be doing on Christmas Eve. If you wanted them to be a part of that, then don't come on Monday. Come on one of the other days. Online, if you're worshiping with us online, there are opportunity to join us for that first service on Sunday at 1 o'clock. That will be running live, and then you can find it on demand after that anytime. There are invites on your way out. This is a great opportunity to invite a friend or a neighbor or a coworker to come check out a service and be reminded of the story of Jesus and the hope that he brings. So on your way out, you'll find some invites with all the different service times that you can give to people. And if Blackhawk Church is your home, we would love to invite you to be a part of welcoming people into our spaces. We'll have thousands of people, many of whom don't usually come to Blackhawk Church, that will be here that weekend. And we'd love to have you help out in some way, whether that's helping with coffee or greeting or downstairs with B-Kids. There's a lot of different opportunities, just one-time opportunities to serve that you can find on the website. So check that out and look for opportunities to serve. All right, there's also a bunch of other things coming up between now and then. The next one is this Saturday, December 7th. We have Animals of Bethlehem starting at 9:30. So when you come, you'll be greeted by live nativity outside with different animals that you can feed and interact with and that kind of thing. And then come inside, and there will be crafts and special treats. And then we're going to be showing the movie The Star. It's an animated movie telling the story of Jesus with showings at 10:30 and 12:30. And there's also opportunities to serve for that. But again, invite a friend or a neighbor, classmate, and then come check that out on Saturday morning. Next thing we have coming up is Blue Christmas on December 17th. So as much as there's joy in the air and all of those kinds of things, we also know that the holidays can be especially difficult. And so if that's you or maybe someone in your family or a loved one, we want to invite you to attend the Blue Christmas service. This was an amazing service last year where we kind of embrace and acknowledge just the hard things going on around us, but we also make a turn toward the hope and the comfort that Jesus brings in this season. So that's Blue Christmas. And then next, we also have Study Day coming up on Friday, December 13th. So if you are a college student, we simply want to invite you to come to be a part of that. There will be tons of food opportunities to study. So just come and enjoy that. Take some of the stress off of finals week. And for the rest of us, we need like hundreds of volunteers to be able to make this happen, whether it's through donating food or serving throughout the day or helping with cleanup. So again, at the website, you can find more opportunities and details about what it looks like to serve for Study Day. And then finally, over the last few weeks, you've been hearing about Advent Conspiracy, where we are pushing back against the consumerism of this season. We all know we've been inundated with the ads and Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all those different kinds of things. And instead of that, we want to choose to be generous and to be a people and a church that gives generously. And so we've partnered with different organizations here locally and globally, where every single penny that is given for Advent Conspiracy will go outside the walls of this church to those partner organizations. And next weekend here in this room, we're going to be hearing from a couple of those different organizations. We'll have leaders from those organizations here to tell us more about who they are. But again, you can find more details at the hub and online with how to give and what that looks like. All right, I think that's it. If I missed anything, check out the hub for all those details, or you need to go back and look at that later. All the service times and everything are there. But now, we're going to be kicking off a new series as we head toward Christmas, a series called God With Us. So with that, I want to hand it off to Pastor Chris for today's message.
Okay, welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris, one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk. Welcome to those of you who are joining us in one of our other sites of Blackhawk Fitchburg, Blackhawk downtown. Maybe you are joining us online. You've been gone all weekend for Thanksgiving and you're watching from your home. Welcome to those of you who are in this room with me right here. If you are a Mandarin speaker, Dijong Zimain Ping An. If you're a Spanish speaker, bienvenidos a Blackhawk. Hey, we're a university community church, and I thought I would start out today's talk with a little science quiz. If you know the answer, no matter if you're in this venue or if you're watching online or if you're at another venue, just go ahead and shout out the answer. Here's the science quiz. You guys ready for a science quiz?
Sure.
Doesn't matter, we're going to have one anyway. Okay, here you go. Okay, what is the name of the star that is closest to our planet? Name it out. Ooh, I heard different things here. I heard Alpha Centauri, not bad. But the right answer is
the sun.
Yeah, kind of a trick question, because sometimes we don't think of the sun as being a star. We kind of take the sun for granted, but it's the closest star to our planet. And without its power and might, obviously we wouldn't exist. There are a gazillion explosions that are happening on our star like every second. And those explosions, it's what keeps us alive. That power, that's what keeps us alive on our planet with light and energy and heat and all that. Those explosions emit particles that travel through the air and the space, and some of those particles every once in a while make it to our planet, and they collide with the particles that are in our magnetic field that is around our planet. So we have a magnetic field around our planet. It's invisible. If we didn't have that magnetic field, we'd all dissolve. We wouldn't be here. But sometimes when they collide, these charged atoms from the sun collide with nitrogen and oxygen from our planet, and they cause light to happen. And sometimes when that light happens, it's usually around the magnetic poles in the north or the south. But sometimes the solar flares are so powerful, and enough charged particles hit our magnetic shield, that the light from those explosions actually come far enough south, even down to like Wisconsin. And every once in a while, we can look to the north and we can see these, what are these things called when we see them? Northern lights or aurora borealis. And people who study the sun, they can predict when these solar flares are so massive that we might even see like the northern lights down here in Wisconsin. And not too long ago, they predicted that it would happen on October the 10th. And because I like the night sky and I like all stars and stuff like that, I knew this. And so I thought, October the 10th, that's a Thursday. That's a Thursday evening. And that's the day that we have our grandkids come to our house every Thursday evening. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be able to take them out and see like the northern lights. So they come to our house, and it's like 7:30, it's too early, and then it's like 8:30, and I go outside, and my wife knows what's going on. She knows I've got this little plan, but the kids have no idea that we're going to go outside and see something like they've never seen before. And so finally, it gets about like 8:45, and I look up and still can't see it, and then at 9 o'clock, you can start to see them, and I'm getting really excited about this. And then about 9:30, it's really dark, way past their bedtime. And I go inside the house, and I say, okay, bring them out. And we bring the kids out. We just live like 2 miles from here. And we can look up in Madison. There's street lights on our street. And you can see these northern lights. They're just so beautiful. They're just fantastic. They're dancing in the skies. They're green and they're pink and they're all these different colors. When you see northern lights, you kind of expect music to happen behind you. You know what I'm saying? But they're just silent and they're just dancing in the sky. And the kids are there, and Sunshine has got, we've got two grandkids. Sienna's 3 and a half and Silas is 7. And they're watching this. And I take a moment and I grab my phone, and I take a picture. Here's the picture that I took that night. Isn't that fantastic? When I took that picture, Silas is looking around going, Grandpa, what are you doing taking a picture of us like that? But I just want to capture the moment because I had this feeling. You guys, you have no idea how much I love the night sky. And my grandkids are seeing the northern lights for the very first time, and I had this feeling inside of my heart. This feeling was like, doesn't get any better than this. You know? Have you ever had that feeling? When you've planned something and you're going out of your way to create kind of a space or a moment, and what's happening, maybe it's a dinner, you got the right bottle of wine, you got the right person, and you're going, oh my God, it doesn't get any better than this. Or maybe you've planned a party, and the person is like, oh my gosh, and it doesn't get any better. You have that moment, maybe it's after vacation, maybe it's Thanksgiving dinner, maybe it's when you leave Thanksgiving dinner. And you say to yourself, it doesn't get any better than this. If you know that feeling, raise your hand, all hands. Yeah, look at the hands, you guys. And when we have that feeling, we don't want that feeling to go away. Because that feeling just kind of, it just drowns out all of our sorrows and all of our cares. And we have this idea in our mind, we just want this thing to go on forever and ever and ever. That's interesting that so many people raise their hands. I think it's a universal thing. Human beings understand what I'm talking about. No matter where you're from, what culture you're from, all of us have had these moments when we go, it doesn't get any better than this. Cubs win the World Series, it doesn't get that kind of thing. You know why I think that everybody understands what I'm talking about? Because I think we were created to have that feeling. I think that's the kind of driving idea behind why we were created. We were all created by God to have, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter if you believe in God or not, we're all created by Him to have that feeling, it doesn't get any better than this, and we all want that feeling to last forever. I think that's the driving idea behind the storyline of the Bible. It's the driving idea behind why we have Christmas. And it's December 1st. And that's the first Sunday of Advent. And through the hustle and bustle of everything that's going on in our worlds, the teaching team, we decided we were going to kind of turn our attention towards Advent and Christmas and talk about this idea that God wants to be with us. When there's a heaven and earth collision, God wants to be with us. It just creates this thing of like, it doesn't get any better. God wants us to have that feeling. He's created us to have that feeling. Well, let me ask you a question. Is this a new phrase to you? Have you like never heard this phrase before? I mean, we just heard a song in this venue about God wants to be with us, God with us, Emmanuel. And so the teaching team knows that we kind of take this major storyline for granted, like we take the sun for granted. And it's powerful, this concept. Actually, if we can get our minds around this, I can't get my mind around this concept, actually. But if we can work to get our mind around this concept, think about this, this idea will get us through cold, dark days when we feel like giving up. When I talk about this feeling, some of us are like, I haven't had that feeling in a long, long, long time, Pastor Chris. This idea, getting our mind around that, will help with that. So we decided to focus on this idea, God with us. So here's where we're going in the series, the Advent series. The first talk is today's talk, and that we were actually created by God to have this feeling. God's created us for this purpose. And the next talk will be by Pastor Charles, and it's about the significance of these sacred spaces of God. God has designed the temple. He created that design because he wanted to be with his people. And Pastor Ben will talk about from places to people. This is the whole idea of the incarnation. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then there'll be the Christmas event over those many days. And several pastors will talk about, you are not alone. God wants to be with us. That's where we're going in the series. And my talk kind of starts off the series. We're going to go to one of the creation narratives in the Bible. So take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2. It's the second creation narrative in our Bible. So if you have a Bible, a device, go ahead and do that. Or we'll also have the verses on the screen here in a second. I'm saying it's the second of two creation narratives because we have two creation narratives. In Genesis 1, that's the first creation narrative, and then the second one is different. It fits beautifully with the first one, but it's different. Go home and read both of them together, and you'll see they're not alike at all. The first creation narrative starts out with these famous words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a fantastic verse, a great verse. A guy said to me once, if you believe that verse, the first verse of the Bible, all the rest of the miracles in the Bible are a piece of cake. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Two kinds, there's God, and then there's everything else. So he's distinct from everything else. The first chapter is about God's greatness and his grandeur. The second chapter, starting in verse 4, God gets down and dirty. He gets personal with his creation. And the whole chapter emphasizes that. Starts out this way, Genesis 2, 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made earth and the heavens. Now, at Blackout Church, we always say this. When you see capital L-O-R-D, that's the editor's way of saying this is the personal name of God, Yahweh. That'd be a better translation, Yahweh God, instead of Lord God. It's his personal name. And it's interesting, that word never occurs in the first chapter. But in the second chapter, that's the first occurrence of this in the Bible. I want to read the entire creation narrative in chapter 2. It's going to take about 3 minutes, but I think in order to get this concept of God with us, I want to read the entire narrative. So here we go. Now,
No shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For Yahweh God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then Yahweh God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now Yahweh God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. Yahweh God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is no gold, where there's gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Yahweh God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And Yahweh God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Yahweh God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now Yahweh God had formed out of the ground all the animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all of the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So Yahweh God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. And Yahweh God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. The man said, "Wow." I actually think it's a better translation than this. Hebrew is zot, demonstrative pronoun. "Wow. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. She's taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And Adam and his wife were both naked. They felt no shame." Now, tons of questions are coming into our minds right now. And we're starting to think, oh my God, we're a university community. We're sophisticated people. We're not supposed to believe this. We just supposed to believe that God like has lips, like he's doing CPR on this like piece of dirt. Are we supposed to believe that that man counted all of the wild animals? You know how long that would take? Not an afternoon. That would take for, and then the surgery. Really, Pastor Chris, this surgery happens. It's demeaning to think that like a rib. Really, are we supposed to believe all of that? Well, let me kind of address that kind of quickly. So. Here at Black Hawk Church, we say this all the time. The Bible's not written to us. Not written to us. It's written for us, not to us. This narrative is not written to people who have a scientific mindset in the 21st century. It's not written to us. It's written to people who had just come out of Egypt 5,000 years ago. This narrative is not in dialogue with our scientific worldview. It is in dialogue with the Egyptian worldview of how the creation took place. They worshipped the sun god, Ra,
And the sun in the first creation narrative is not created until day four. That's like the creator's way of saying, yeah, that's what we think about that. This is in dialogue with the creation narratives. And when we read our scientific worldview into this, like, don't do that. It's a beautiful narrative. It's fantastic. Adam in Hebrew means a human being. And Eve, and she gets her name at the end of the third chapter, that Eve means living one. This is the story, you guys, about the creation of human being and living one. Come on, you guys. Come on. Metaphor, poetry of beautiful. Let's not destroy it by bringing our culture into it. Let's let that culture speak for itself. If you have more questions about the nature of this genre and the literature, we've spoken about this many times at Black Rock Church. You can find resources at the Hub. I have a paper on there. I've spoken on this. Charles has spoken on this. One of our former pastors, Tim Mackey, has spoken on this. You can go to the Hub and look at all the resources, and that might help you with some of your questions. But if we go off on some of those questions, we'll be on wild stallions. It'll take us far, far away from what the narrator is actually trying to do. And what the narrator is actually doing is he's trying to help us see that God has created us to be with him and to have an experience where we go, it doesn't get any better than this. That's the Eden narrative. Let's look what the text has to say. Look at verse 8. Now, Yahweh God had planted a garden, Gana, in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. Garden translates the Hebrew word gana. It's a plot of ground protected by a wall or by a hedge. My friend John Walton says this. Gardens were constructed adjoining sacred space as evidence of the fertility that resulted from the presence of God. They were not vegetable gardens or fields of crops. They were beautifully landscaped parks. These were common accoutrements to the temples and palaces of the ancient Near Eastern world. Here's a garden that Ashurbanipal had created that we have kind of dug up and found. There's like a temple on top of a hill. The Genesis narratives, you guys, is a creation narrative of a temple. The entire cosmos is like a temple. And then Ashurbanipal has like water. Water comes from it. Because this is the ancient Near East, you guys. The sun shines all the time. If you provide water, you get like fantastic plants. You build this hedge around it, and that's your sacred space. And kings created these sacred spaces. Different kinds of temples would have these sacred spaces. And God creates this sacred space to put the man in this sacred space to take care of his temple. Next slide. Now, Yahweh God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. This text is not the Garden of Eden. It's the garden in Eden. Eden means beautiful. It means peaceful. It's a fantastic place. And it's in the east. In the ancient Near East world, the east meant life. West meant death. If you go down the Nile River, on the western side of the Nile River, that's where the temples of death are. That's where the cemeteries are. That's where the pyramids are. They're on the western side. On the eastern side are the gods of life. Life comes from the east. The sun rises. The sun sets on the west. That's where death happens. So in the east, in Eden, he creates this space, and he puts in this space all the things that the human beings would need to enjoy life. Look at verse 9. Yahweh God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything that the man needed was right there. Beautiful trees, apple trees, orange trees, pear trees, every kind of tree you could think. And it was there. He didn't need it. All the man needed to do was show up. Because Yahweh had created a perfect space. He just needed to show up. Have you ever done something like that? Created a perfect space
and you just wanted to have someone just show up. How many of you have been part of planning a surprise party sometime? A surprise party. So that's the idea. You create this moment, this perfect situation, and then the person just shows up. My wife threw a surprise party for me years ago when we lived in Shreveport, Louisiana. She knows me. She knows what I like. I like the stars. So the place she wanted to have the party was a planetarium. You know what a planetarium is? You know, you go in, it's like a dome, and they turn the lights off, and you see all these stars. So she kind of rigged the situation where she said, and this was her lie. My wife's great at lying. She said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. The story was that the kids, they needed to show up at a certain time and they would get extra credit if they went to this Shreveport planetarium. She actually got stationery from the school and had someone type it out with the teacher signing it. So we had the stationery. We went to the planetarium on time. We got there. There was all kinds of cars in the parking lot. And we go in the planetarium, and the director of the planetarium, he's in on the whole thing. And he says, oh, we're just about ready to start. You're late. You need to get in here. Here, let me take that piece of paper. Do you have it? Oh, yeah, here it is. So we're going to go in. It's dark. And we go in, and all of a sudden, the lights come on, and all my friends are there, and they go, happy birthday. And I'm looking around at all my friends, and I'm going, hey, your kid doesn't go to this school. Your kid doesn't go to this school. I'm not the sharpest blade in the drawer, you know. I mean, it's like, hey, idiot. We created, and she had the best food there. When the lights went out and the planetarium, you know what the planetarium was set at? My birthday, February 10th, 1956, what the night sky looked like in Indiana. My wife, she's tricky. And she had created that moment, that space, and I'm eating my favorite food with my best friends, looking at the night sky, and I say to myself, this is the Eden. God has created it. So the man is going, it doesn't get any better than this. And then God creates an assignment for the man. Yahweh God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Yahweh God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. I love the fact that God has created this space and work is a good thing, to work it and take care of it. I love the very first words that Yahweh God says to human being is, you are free. You are free. God has created everything good, and one of the good things he created was freedom. That can also lead to problems. But because God's a loving God, he creates free creatures. And we are free to obey or disobey. And you know what happened. And then there's this next line. Yahweh God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. So then he has all these animals come to the man, and the man names all these animals. You can see the man's standing there, and he's naming all these animals. No, not that one. And he puts the man to sleep. And he does this amazing surgery. And he takes, it's not really a rib, the Hebrew word is side. The idea is he takes a side of the man. Hebrew, the man's name is Isha, Ish, and the woman is Isha. So she's like a mirror of him, perfect complement. They're equal in every way. And it's perfect. It's perfect. And you say, well, you know, I don't think you can count all the animals. And don't read your scientific worldview into this narrative. You destroy it. Just let it speak for itself. The idea is God has created a perfect situation here. You ever been to a zoo? Yeah, everybody's been to a zoo. You go to a zoo, and you see like a wild animal. And what's between you and the wild animal? Yeah, bars or fence. Here's a tiger. Our facilities team has told me there's no tigers in the Bethlehem Animals thing this Saturday at Blackhawk. We're not, no tigers there. But you want to hug the tiger, right? In Eden, there's no bars.
There's no bars. You just hug the tiger. You hold your hand up like this, an eagle lands on it. It's perfect in every way. And then there's that closing line of the Genesis narrative. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. They felt no shame. My wife said she felt no shame because they hadn't created carbohydrates yet. We're so far away from the perfectness of that moment that we can't imagine the truth of that verse. But we are created to have an experience where we say, it doesn't get any better than this. God with us, heaven and earth come together, and we say, oh man. And God wants that feeling to last forever and ever and ever. It's the driving idea behind the storyline of the entire Bible. God with us. Now, what are some takeaways from that narrative? Here's the first takeaway. We are created for relationships. That's why being isolated and alone is so painful. We're created for relationships. That's why being isolated and alone is so painful. And you guys, we are living in a world today that's unlike any type of world that human beings have ever lived in. Because we're living in a world today where we have devices that are intended to connect us to one another, but these devices, they are separating us from one another like you cannot even believe. These devices are causing isolation. They're causing depression. In his book, The Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt just catalogs over and over again how the world we are living in is completely, it's like we're all living in a smoke-filled room, and it's slowly filling up with smoke, and nobody notices what's happening. But it's destroying people, what's happening in our world today. We're experiencing a rewiring in our world today. I talked to a bus driver of a public school the other day, and he said when he drives his bus, high school students, completely different than it used to be. They used to make all the noise in the world. Now they make no noise. They just sit down and they're on their devices. You can go into a college classroom at UW-Madison or Edgewood or anywhere and get there early and 50, 60 students around. Silence in the room. Everybody's on their device like this. You could be right in front of someone that you really love, and all of a sudden you get a haptic on your watch and you don't pay attention to them. You're paying attention to, because this, what does that do to people, you guys? What is that doing to people? What's it doing to children? He writes, a 2014 survey of children ages 6 to 12 conducted by Highlights magazine found that 62% of children reported that their parents were often distracted when the child tried to talk to them. When they were asked the reasons why their parents were distracted, cell phones were the top response. Parents know that they are shortchanging their own children. A 2020 Pew survey found that 68% of parents said that they sometimes or often feel distracted by their phones when they are spending time with their children. Those numbers were higher for parents who were younger and who were college educated. And all of a sudden, children become isolated, and the depression rates just skyrocketing. The Anxious Generation, if you're wanting a good read during Christmas, The Anxious Generation. If you're a parent, I'm going to warn you, you're probably not going to like a lot of the book. We are created for relationships, face-to-face relationships. And the devices that we carry around with us are anti-Eden devices, anti-Eden devices. Second takeaway for our lives.
We are created for a relationship with God, but our desire to have our own way kind of trips us up. We're created for a relationship, but we, want our own way. We read in the text, Lord God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the life of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Freedom is important to us, but freedom means that we don't have to obey. And the whole idea of obedience to God, we want to think that it's our world, it's our creation. But God says, it's my world, and I want you to trust me and obey me. When we trust and obey, there's a flourishing that happens. There's an old hymn that people my age used to sing when we were growing up by John Samus, trust and obey, for there's no other. Can we say this word, saying together? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust. You having struggles in your life right now? Something's going on? Dysfunctional things happening? Let me ask you a question. Are you doing that? Is there lack of obedience on your part caused by your freedom? Just messing with you. We are designed by God to flourish on this planet. To be in relationship with Him, His creation, and with each other. And that happens best when we trust and obey. Even if we think we have a better idea. So that's where we're going in this series. We're going with this idea that God wants to be with us. And there's a powerful. It's an idea that we've heard before many, many times, but it's like the sun, we take it for granted. But like our sun, it is powerful. It is powerful. And if you can get your mind around that idea, it'll get you through dark and cold times and feelings. The God of the universe wants to be with us. Our creative team came up with an idea that we want to give you a gift, everybody. A gift. And when you leave your venues today, you're going to receive a matchbook and a little candle. And when you open up the matchbook, it says God with us in English, Mandarin, and Spanish. And we want you this month to not just shop and not just worry, but we want you to spend time with God. And we know that this is just a flame, can't see God himself. But we thought, if you can just light a candle. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just turn off your devices for just a minute and just look at a candle and just slow down and just try to get your mind around those words, God with us. We think if you just do that, it's a very simple practice. Take a moment. You'll have a different December. And you'll be able to come into situations in your life that will be completely different because you don't take him for granted anymore. And his power and his energy will start to flow through your life. Very simple thing. Hear the words. God with us. Let's pray. Simple idea. But Father,
And it's hard for me to get my mind around it. You are so great. You are so powerful. Your ways are so far above my ways. And you have created a gazillion stars. And you want to be with me. I can't fathom it. We thank you, Father, for this truth that drives all of the storylines in the Bible. It's the reason we have Christmas. It's the reason we celebrate the cross. It's the reason we celebrate the resurrection. Because you want to be with us forever and ever and ever. Help us, Father, by the power of your Spirit, get this phrase in our minds this month. We pray this in Christ's name. For the sake of his reputation, all God's people said.
God willing,
God is with us, not just in the perfection of Eden in the garden, but as we'll see over the next few weeks, even in the mess and the chaos and the things that don't go right in our lives, the circumstances that aren't as we would wish them to be, he is with us, and that's really good news. And that's what we'll celebrate as we head toward these Christmas services. So again, on the way out, just a reminder that you can pick up, there's a little packet with those candles and the matches where it's just, it's not magical, but it's a tangible visual reminder as we light that candle and try to spend time with him that he is present with us all the time. We just have to grow in awareness of that, and that's what the candle's trying to do. Also, on your way out, you can grab these invites for Christmas services. They look great. And on the other side, you'll see all of the different service times that are available. There's also invites out there for Animals of Bethlehem and Blue Christmas as well. So let's be a people with these things coming up. These services aren't just for us. God isn't just with us, but we want to be a people who invites those that are in our sphere of influence in our lives, our neighbors, coworkers, friends, classmates, you name it. So who is it that you're going to invite to one of those different events? There's a variety of things that we're trying to do to create spaces for people to come and encounter Jesus and the good news that he is with us. So grab those on your way out as well. For today's benediction, it's the first week of Advent, and we talked about hope. So let me read these words from the Apostle Paul in Romans 15. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And everyone said together, amen. If we can be praying for you in any way, well, there'll be a couple of us up here to pray. Pastor Chris will be out in the atrium. Grab those things on your way out and have a great week.